Hello everyone, and welcome back to another Channel 9 on RX. The last time we were here, we had Jaafar Hussain with me, and we were talking about Netflix and the usage of RX. So once again, Jaafar.
Hi everybody, my name is Jaafar. I'm a technical lead over at Netflix, and we use RX heavily. We're big believers in RX, and so I'm here today to just talk to Matthew a little bit about the work he's doing to integrate with JavaScript frameworks out there.
Yep. Yeah, so one question that you and I both get asked a lot of the times is, how exactly does RX play with all of my other libraries? Because it's really unlikely that, you know, in building apps today, that you're only going to use one particular library. Maybe 5 years ago, everyone just used jQuery and that was about it. But that, today, that's unrealistic.
Right. I think, you know, in practice, JavaScript developers are working with a lot of different libraries.
Right.
And it's really important that those libraries fit together. And one of the things that I think is important to understand when you're working with RX and potentially some other library, maybe you have some library like Knockout or Angular and they have their own event-based system.
Right.
You might wonder what value RX delivers. And
yep.
I think sort of the key thing to take away from this is that RX's sort of facilities for, you know, combining and controlling concurrency
Right. Exactly.
are really totally orthogonal to most of those MVStar frameworks like React or Angular, which are mostly about updating the UI. So the
Exactly.
truth is, they tend to actually complement each other extremely well.
Absolutely, absolutely agreed, is the fact that when you look at jQuery and you look at other libraries, what do they have? They have animations, CSS updates, Ajax, and so forth. Well, those are great things to have, but in order to combine them all into one coherent story, instead of having all these callbacks, you can turn them into observables, and suddenly you have a nice, really building block or Lego kit, as it were, to build your application with. So to that point, if you go to our particular RxJS homepage, you'll find that we have a little section about what about my libraries. We're going to only talk about a couple of them here today, but as you can see right here, we have a number of them, including Angular, jQuery, and so forth. So people are really actively doing some jQuery and Angular and even React to this point, which Jaafar will talk about a little bit later. So one of the first libraries that people wanted really to see where RX would really fit was jQuery. So jQuery, around the 2010 timeframe, was kind of the de facto library that everybody used for pretty much everything, whether it was Ajax or Ajax requests, whether it was CSS animations, whether it was events, et cetera, et cetera. And so people have always asked, well, what exactly can RX do for you?
Right. I mean, jQuery has got all those helpful methods that we all know how to use to control animations, right, and to make it easier to grab onto events and manipulate the
right.
DOM. What is it that the value proposition of RX brings to jQuery?
Okay. Well, what we can do, what we've done, is we've wrapped a lot of those methods that you already are very familiar with, such as Ajax and such as like mouse movements, clicks, etc.
Animate.
Yeah, animation and animate and so forth. And what we've done is we've wrapped them and turned them into observables directly for you. So it kind of creates this nice shorthand for you, so that you don't have to, you know, say from event or anything like that, and bind a lot of those things yourself. You can just say $input. Dot click as observable, and then just start composing your chain as you normally would.
So I'm pretty sure somebody, I'd like to see an example of how that works.
Okay, let's do that. So we have our typical autocomplete example that we like to beat to death here. And just so we can, just to show you a little bit of how it works, so we can type in React and Reactive, and sure enough, it updates in a very timely fashion. We can go back and forth, etc., etc. So that's pretty simple, and it was all using jQuery and RX together.
Can we take a look at some code?
Sure, absolutely. So let's take a look at this. We have, if you look at our repository, we have a number of examples that we have for each library that we support. So the important thing that we want to pay attention to is not necessarily a lot of the things about autocomplete, because you can see those just about anywhere. But what you'll want to notice are things like Ajax observable, key up as observable, and so forth. Those kinds of things are the very very essence of what you want to do, and having a lot of very good short things that's kind of feel at home when you're in jQuery. You want to feel like it feels part of just a normal jQuery plugin.
So this gets, correct me if I'm wrong, this gets rid of a lot of the plumbing code that you might have to write in order to integrate Observable with jQuery.
Exactly.
It's almost like jQuery is written with Observable from the start.
Exactly. So this is just another jQuery plugin. You're like, okay, I'm using jQuery, I can dot, I can get all of the observables are now tacked onto the jQuery prototype, as it were.
Well, let me ask you this. So jQuery is still big, and a lot of people are still using jQuery, but mm-hmm. a lot of the community has moved on to some of the MVC frameworks that don't involve as much direct DOM manipulation. And right. I think one that's got a lot of buzz right now is Angular.
Absolutely. That was another thing that we've been talking about a lot. And to that particular end, the community said, well, what can you do with Angular? And I said, well, actually a lot, because when you look at the way that Angular has kind of had this value proposition, one of the very things that they have on their website is that two-way data binding.
Right.
And that two-way data binding is very, very powerful. Suddenly you're typing and then seeing the UI update at the same time. It's a really, really cool thing to do. Well, that's kind of the things that Rx is also really good at is you know, real-time eventing and so forth handling it in a very compositional manner. Instead of having to have all these watches sitting around, Rx is able to directly just start picking up and moving data along.
So could I, for example, listen to a change in a property value?
Absolutely.
And then make a request and then that type of thing with Rx?
Absolutely. In fact, there's a sample out there called Ninja. And this what this allows you to do is search for particular people that are near you that have a particular skill set. So, for example, we could start typing here, Seattle. Okay, I want all of the great coders of Seattle to show up here. And sure enough, Eric Lippert shows up as number one with that ungodly high reputation. But what's really cool about this is the fact that what we're doing is we're reacting here to the change event of this particular field here. In addition, there's another field here that we combine it with or we merge it with. And then once those two things are merged, then we can start searching here.
So what you're saying essentially is that you're listening to both of the property values of these fields.
Correct.
And the combination of those changes yields the search results.
Exactly.
Can we take a look at some code of that?
Sure. We absolutely can. And so what we're going to do is in the app controller, for example, for this particular application, we can take a look and say, sure enough, the scope to observable of the particular string search location and the tags, we can merge that into one particular thing. So when either of them change, it's all merged into a single observable, as it were.
And the scope object, of course, in Angular is the object where that is injected
exactly.
In these handlers and has all of the information, access to the various
exactly.
Models on the page. Is that correct?
Exactly. So if you go to our homepage, we have a homepage directly for Rx and Angular, and we go through a number of the scenarios of why it's compelling. So we have this module, a complete module for Rx, and you can do scope observable changes and so forth. And we also wrap things like the HTTP dependency so that anything that's HTTP related will then also be turned into an observable. So therefore, you get all of the error catching, retry effects, and all of that that you would get from an observable sequence.
Great.
Yeah, so we piled all of this on, and we've had some great reaction from the Angular community. So I'm really, really pleased about how this library has come along.
Well, so Angular is definitely huge nowadays, and you hear a lot of people asking about Angular.
Absolutely.
But there's a little bit of an upstart. It's pretty recent. I guess it was released a while ago, but now I think it's really starting to get some adoption, which is Facebook's React.
Yeah. React, they really made a big splash last year at JSConf when they showed off this, and some people were a little mixed on the reaction because they're like, oh geez, this JSX thing is very new and very scary to us, whereas we were kind of used to these small templates inside of our HTML. So it's a completely different componentized way of talking about JavaScript.
I think the interesting difference, though, because we were just talking about the benefits of the two-way data binding with Angular,
yes.
is React kind of moves really far away from this two-way data binding model that you
yes,
see frameworks like Angular and Ember, and even for those who are familiar with Silverlight and WPF
yep.
and Flex, and they all use this similar two-way data binding model.
Right.
Now, if React doesn't have this two-way data binding,
mm-hmm.
What's the value proposition there?
That's a very good question. How would Rx be able to handle that? Well, the answer is that anything that the event system or any of the things that it's trying to do with pooling data, we can help that. You know, any time that they need to handle a click event or a mouse move event, we can handle directly for them. So if it's not built in, Rx is a perfect fill for a lot of that that behavior.
Well, I think the point worth making here, correct me if I'm wrong, is that any application is going to, and almost UI, all UIs mm-hmm. have basically, there's three things happen in order, and you see this again and again.
Mm-hmm.
They get some event from, you know,
yep.
UI widget, they make a remote request,
mm-hmm.
and then they usually animate in
yep.
The results. And so those are really three events, and they can all be modeled as observables, and
absolutely.
I think Rx can all coordinate them together, right?
Yes.
And that's, of course, totally independent of anything that React does, which is primarily about diffing between the DOM
yep.
and previous and next versions and
yep.
updating the DOM as efficiently as possible.
Exactly.
Cool. Do we have a code sample of React Rx together?
Yes, we actually do, but let's actually take a look at a couple of examples first. Everyone's seen this todo MVC. So todo MVC is kind of the boilerplate or the kind of the bar. In order for you to say that you're an MVC framework, is you have to have this MVC todo MVC application. It's kind of like the hello world of nowadays of
MVStar framework.
Exactly. So what we can do is we can go in here and we can say talk about React on channel 9. And we can enter that, and sure enough, we've got that. And now that we've talked about it, we can cross it off. All of this sort of stuff here is all completely nothing but React and RxJS. Nothing more, nothing less. What's really kind of interesting about this is the fact that all of these particular actions are no more than subjects. So to create, for example, to create a to-do is nothing more than a subject. Updating a tile, a subject,
mm-hmm.
all of those things. So a subject, for those who aren't aware, is nothing more than an observer and an observable. So the fact is that it can start spitting out data, and then someone can subscribe to it.
So it's a lot like, correct me if I'm wrong, like a UI event, which
exactly.
you could raise, but also listen to.
Exactly.
And now I'm gonna hazard a guess here. Essentially what's happening is you're hooking up event listeners to the DOM elements when you do your render pass
yep.
in React,
mm-hmm.
and then when those event listeners fire, you immediately on-next a subject,
that's
and
right.
now you can begin doing all that observable composition.
Absolutely.
Can we take a look at that in action?
Which piece in particular?
Let's see. Well, so I think when a lot of people look at todo MVC,
mm-hmm.
they might think, well, these are simple events and I'm just updating the UI, but I assume there is some composition required.
There is. In fact, that you can now say, when you do some composition, you say this.create, so whenever a create is fired, now I can map and do something completely different in terms of the inside. So I can take the titles and the to-dos and start to concat and create them on the fly. So each of these in particular suddenly become exportable, so other pieces can start to use them and compose against them and so forth if they want to store them in local storage, etc.
Oh, I see. So I could create a stream of all of the to-dos as it changes, and
yes.
if I wanted to add some other listener who is interested in that stream of to-dos,
yes.
I could do that, and then they could maybe update to local storage.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. So what this allows us to do is just very much have this this very nice lean set of actions that we can deal with and that any part of the UI can then start to compose over. So whether you can do some running aggregations like a scan, for example, to start counting how many times people have entered in a particular to-do, how many times they've removed one, all of those sorts of logic that you can build over events can easily be done using Rx. So just because you see the subjects here, just allows us so much opportunity for for growth in terms of, and composition throughout our whole user experience.
So the key would be, if I'm building a React app and I want to do some composition with, you know, make a remote request on when an event happens and then coordinate that together with an animation, all I do is I pull in Rx and I create subjects, which I then on next from my event handlers that I attach the DOM.
Correct. Yes, you can certainly do that. And that's probably one of the easiest ways, and it's very much in line with what Facebook's Flux does pretty much. They have a slightly different model, but for Rx, we can easily just come in there, and not only that, but we have that rich composition model that they don't. In addition, we also have the ability to help them with all of their AJAX requests and everything else that they might want to do.
Well, so I think that's a pretty good summary of like some of the big and the interesting and dominant frameworks out there.
Yeah.
I think what might also be worth talking about sort of the future of JS.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Right now, you know, folks have to import a library to use Rx with the frameworks, and frameworks can't necessarily use observable directly, or frameworks are reluctant to maybe take a direct dependency on Rx because it's more size, and it should be perhaps left up to the developer to take on that cost.
Yep.
And I think we've shown about how you can pretty smoothly integrate. But I think what's kind of exciting is that one thing we're exploring right now on the JavaScript committee, of which I'm a member, is how we can actually build Rx into JavaScript itself, so that platforms can start exposing events this way.
Yeah, and in fact, we have a slide exactly on that point right here. So why don't you just walk us through what this all would give us?
Yeah, so this is definitely not approved. This is definitely not, at this point, a sure thing. But I can tell you that we've reached the first stage of acceptance for a proposal for the JavaScript 7, which will allow you to actually use built-in syntax to traverse events using a for loop. And so the element.mouseDowns, that's not actually necessarily going to be added to DOM elements, but it's certainly something that you could add yourself.
Yeah.
It's more interesting that the observable type would be added to JavaScript, and then you could perhaps use these advanced syntax to traverse it.
Although, wouldn't that be cool if the DOM did, in fact, have a notion of first-class events?
That would be really, really neat. And there are some, actually, JavaScript features coming in the next version of JavaScript, JavaScript 6, which would easily allow you to simulate that, specifically proxies. And so I could create a proxy, which is basically something that wraps around any object and allows you to intercept calls. So imagine if you're a C-sharp or a JavaScript developer, and you could create an object, and if somebody attempted to call a method that didn't exist, you could get a callback, and then you could actually, instead of them simply getting back an undefined or a, you know, can't invoke a null reference exception or something like that, you could actually either define that method and then call it. And so what you could do is you could build a proxy around DOM elements, and then if somebody attempted to look up anything that starts with the word on, you could actually dynamically create an observable that would allow you to just do this type of composition.
Yeah, that would be very, very cool. And yes, in fact, we've actually looked at doing some of that with kind of the ES6 fiddle and so forth. It's really, really cool stuff. But in addition, you know, Jaffer did make some points about, you know, Rx in terms of its size and breadth and so forth. So there are a number of efforts that are going on there as well. So for example, if you're in Node, you can bring in all of Rx today. All you have to do, go in, npm install Rx, you get it, you play, you require Rx, and you're good to go.
Might be a good time to show off RequireBin as well.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're looking to play with Rx and you don't feel like typing more than, say, 20 or 30 characters, you can go to RequireBin, which is this great little site, requirebin.com. And you can just allows you to actually, using Browserify under the hood, pull in any NPM package that has a version that works in the browser, of which Rx is one, and just start playing with it. And so all you have to do is type that on line 2, go to requirebin.com, and on line 2 just go var Rx equals require Rx, and then you can just start coding in Rx. So for those Node developers that just want to get their feet wet, you can try this, or any JavaScript developer who wants to get their feet wet can try it out this way.
So let's do that, rebuild, and sure enough, there you go. 2, 3, and 4.
Very neat. We should figure out who's behind RequireBin and credit them, because that's a great little piece of software for playing around with NPM modules.
Exactly. So the idea of moving forward, and one thing that we have, is the idea that everything will be a component in that map, filter, scan, aggregate, any number of operators that you use, take until, skip until, all of those will be separate modules that you can bring in directly.
So what's happening is RX is getting a lot, breaking into a lot of smaller pieces for
exactly.
the node guys.
So for example, if the couple multitudes of methods that we have, and you only want three or four, you can through NPM be able to pull in, say, RX dash take until, RX dash skip until, mm-hmm. and then have those operators brought in when you need them. There's another way that we're going to do that as well, is we have a custom build system that we're also working on. So say, for instance, I only need 10 operators. So I want to keep, I have a small hardware-constrained device. I need RX to be as small as possible, and I only need these 5 or 10 operations. I can create an RX build with just those particular things. Boom, and I'm good to go.
Well, now you mentioned RX's size, which kind of surprised me, because nowadays I think you also have RX Lite, which is worth talking about.
Yeah.
I think you've taken the most common operators and
yep.
you put them into a single JS file.
Exactly.
How big is RX Lite after gzip compression?
After gzip compression, it's about 14K. It's pretty small.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'm looking to actually make it even smaller by dropping a few more that maybe people don't use on a more day-to-day basis. And we're always looking for community contribution when it comes to that. But yeah, what we're trying to do is yes, we have this whole bazaar of methods that you could use, but chances are many a days you're not going to use many of them. So why don't we give you the ability to use the most common ones, or take the bizarre approach, I'm going to use all of them, or I just want to pick and choose.
So it sounds like people have a lot of options then if they're really size constrained.
Exactly. So trying to answer both the modular, the folks that live in the node space are very much interested in the size the size constraints and the do only one thing and do it well crowd, in addition to the hardware constrained side and those people that are more constrained on size and execution.
Sounds good.
Yep. So with that, we'd like to thank you very much for your time.